We live in a globalized world where people in Bhutan watch Hollywood movies and people in Mahwah, New Jersey watch Mexican television. We also live in a morphing multimedia world where news stories turn into books and music, and the music turns into TV shows and movies and back again. And so we live in a world that demands perpetual translation. Translation between languages, between generations, between cultures, and across mediums. My special guest today, Gregory Rabassa, is by all accounts among the best American translators working today. He has translated the novels of many Latin American writers, including Mario Vargas Llosa, Octavio Paz, Jorge Amado, and Gabriel Garcia Marquez, who has said that Rabassa's translation of 100 Years of Solitude is better than his Spanish original. Last month, the Pan American Center gave Rabassa a Career Achievement Award for his contributions to the appreciation of Hispanic literature. Gregory Rabassa, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
You are probably best known for your translation of the work of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, especially 100 Years of Solitude.
A lot of the credit maybe go to the book itself, too.
Well, okay. We'll give Marquez
a good book.
A little
I think some of my other translations are just as good, but maybe the books are not as good.
Can you read a little bit for us from the Marquez book?
Just let me read the opening lines, which seem to be the most popular ones that people talk about. Many years later, as he faced the firing squad, Colonel Aureliano Buendia was to remember that distant afternoon when his father took him to discover ice. At that time, Macondo was a village of 20 adobe houses built on the bank of a river of clear water that ran along a bed of polished stones, which were white and enormous like prehistoric eggs. The world was so recent that many things lacked names, and in order to indicate them, it was necessary to point.
Now, one of the reasons that strikes even a civilian like myself as a beautiful translation is that there is no sense of it being a translation. The translation is invisible. And one sometimes reads translations of literature in which there's clearly something clunky, that it sounds like somebody speaking imperfect English.
That, I think, is the fault of the translator. That maybe it's something sort of like instinct, or I think you have to let yourself go and stick to what the author is trying to say. If you're a good reader, you know that, and just say it. It's close to acting in that sense, that you have the role, you have the words, but as we know, every actor has a different version of Hamlet, and yet it still is Hamlet. One Hamlet's better than the other Hamlet.
Have you translated? I mean, you're famous. You're best known for your translations from Spanish and Portuguese into English. Do you also translate from English into those languages?
No, I don't have the native vocabulary. I think you should have a natural vocabulary, street vocabulary. I found that out, for example, when I was doing one of Jorge Amado's novels, where he began cursing and using words and. I found out that when I got to the eighth or ninth English synonym for the male member, that I had to go to the book, slang books, to look up more. I couldn't get any more out of my head while he went on to about 15 or 16. Or
I think I'd be stumped at around 9 myself.
Yeah. And Portuguese may be richer than that, but that idea, that type of expression, I'd have to pull out of my head if I were to translate into Portuguese.